You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Today on the show, Justin McLeod of D1Softball.com joins us. Ethan Westerman also in studio. We're going to look ahead to the NCAA Fayetteville Regional. Arkansas, the number four national seed in this year's softball NCAA tournament. But it's not easy. They've got Oklahoma State, a team that's been to five consecutive Women's College World Series, coming over to Fayetteville. Indiana's also here, St. Louis. We'll preview that, but first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Justin McLeod is our guest from D1Softball.com. Justin, this is an interesting regional this weekend for Arkansas because this is not just kind of your normal two seed that's rolling in here to Fayetteville. You got Oklahoma State, a team that has been to the Women's College World Series, I think, 5 years in a row. Indiana, a really good hitting team. St. Louis, first time they've made the tournament. Just tell everybody what they should know about this regional and especially Oklahoma State and how dangerous of a team that is.
Oklahoma State is a dangerous team. I think this is one regional that is going to be a prime example in a couple of years when we get to the point of seeding 32 teams in the tournament versus abiding by the old busing rule. Because that's why Oklahoma State's in Fayetteville, is the busing rule, the 400-mile radius. So that will be a prime example, because whatever happens this week, you're going to have a very good team knocked out quickly. Oklahoma State is an incredibly talented team. They've hit some bumps in the road this year, lost some games that on paper probably shouldn't have lost. But, I mean, Ruby Malin, their ace, is one of the best pitchers in the country. They've got a very talented offense when that offense is rolling. So the matchup of Arkansas-Oklahoma State, I mean, even for schools that are just a few hours away from one another, like that's a heck of a matchup. That's a top-tier, that's a World Series-esque matchup. Then you bring in an Indiana team that knows how to play ball. Shonda Stanton's the head coach. Her teams are always scrappy, but they have some serious power. They've got some Bree Copeland's a two-way star, so they've got some real talent. And then you throw a St. Louis team in. I mean, they're busting down too. But as a four seed, first time in the tournament, I mean, you can't underestimate them, right? Like, yeah, they're the four seed, but I really like the depth of this regional, and I like the depth of offense in this regional. I mean, obviously we know the whole Bogle Bombers thing. I think we've talked in the past about just how multidimensional Arkansas's offense has become this year, but I like the offense across all four teams, to be honest.
You know, OSU, it's a little bit closer to Norman than it is to Fayetteville, not by much, but by a little bit. Why do you think they weren't sent to Norman?
I really think it's as simple as not putting Bedlam in the opening round. I really do. The committee doesn't always go for things like that. Sometimes they do, but I think it's as simple as that. Plus, Arkansas is, by two seed lines, a lower seed than OU. So if there's two to bust two, usually they'll try to... Normally, it's more of a factor when you have, a 5 and a 14. 2 and 4 is a little close, but... I mean, that also factors in a little bit, just the fact that Arkansas is a couple of seed lines lower.
Arkansas was close to being SEC co-champion last week. Of course, the tournament got their championship game rained out, and A&M and OU ended up splitting the title. As you watched Arkansas, I mean, OU obviously had a great comeback in that semifinal game, but as you watched them throughout the SEC tournament, what were your thoughts?
I mean, I actually thought they looked really good. I thought Peyton Bingham looked pretty good in the circle. I thought the offense was what I've seen the offense be all year. And granted, some hot and cold moments, don't get me wrong. I think that game against Georgia where Randy Rolling, if I remember right, had him no-hit until the fifth inning. Courtney Day hits a home run, breaks up the no-hitter and the shutout, ties the game. Obviously, Bree Ellis' grand slam at the end to win it. So I saw the same Arkansas that I've seen a lot this year. Got some cold moments in there where maybe the offense can only scratch out one hit in five innings, but it's a home run and it ties the game. Against Oklahoma, I think the thing that stood out most to me, it seemed like they relied really a lot on their experience with the other teams that they, excuse me, the other pitchers besides Audrey Lowry. They didn't face Audrey Lowry earlier in the year. And I felt like they made adjustments really well. That was a theme early in conference. I remember doing a presser with Courtney Dyfel, and she mentioned executing the plan. Like that was a mantra over and over again in different responses and things. And I've really seen Arkansas execute that plan really well in the back stretch of conference play. I felt like I saw Arkansas continuing to execute their plan well in the early stages against Oklahoma, maybe not as much against Audrey Lowry herself. And that's the one pitcher they didn't face earlier in the season during the conference series. So I felt like I saw the same Arkansas I've seen through the course of the year, some hot and cold moments, but the ability to make a difference without just the long ball. Like the thing about Bree Ellis's grand slam, you had to get to Ellis in the lineup. The bases were loaded before that. So, like, I think pieces like that get missed a little bit. But I liked what I saw from Arkansas, and I think it was a continuation of what they've done so successfully during the course of the year, too.
You think the committee got it right? Arkansas, the number four national seed, did you see them leaning any way, one way or the other way?
4-5, Florida State, Arkansas, I thought could go either way. I felt like Florida State was going to be the team that broke up the SEC monopoly at the top, so it's just a matter of how high the committee seated them. But I have no issue with Arkansas at 4, Florida State at 5. I think Arkansas's record buoys a 4 seed.
The SEC got 14 of 15 teams in. For those who don't know, Vanderbilt doesn't have a softball team, so there's only 15 SEC softball teams. Were you surprised at all that any got in? Missouri wasn't eligible because they didn't have a record above 500. But out of the 14 who were eligible, were you surprised that they all got in?
Not at all. I think the strength of the SEC buoys that. I mean, some teams like Kentucky that just didn't have great years, you still played an SEC schedule, and I think that buoyed it.
How much do you think that is important? Because I was reading some comments about that a day or two ago about how you've got teams who don't have winning records in their conference getting into the NCAA tournament. So obviously it feels like with the selection committee, they are very aware of maybe the challenges that these super conferences present.
No, and I think that's exactly what it is. I think the thing for me, when you have a conference as strong as the SEC, it bothers me less. From a bird's eye view, when I think about, okay, pretty consensus across the board, all biases included, 8 of the top 10 seeds were SEC teams. Like anybody you ask, anybody who doesn't really know a ton about it, outside of UCLA and Florida State, the rest of the top 10 were SEC teams. We're going to be SEC teams. I think when the conference is that strong, the record in conference bothers me a little less. You go outside that strength, and then it's a little different. If you talk about a Big Ten team, an ACC team, and you tell me they finished 10th in conference and made the tournament, my spidey senses go up a little bit. But 10th in conference in the SEC, a sub-500 record in the SEC still means you've got win. I mean, you look at an Auburn, started the conference, what was it, 0-11, 0-12 this year, still have a top 25 RPI. Still had a solid case for the tournament because once they started winning a handful of games, two SEC series, here they are. The resume is a tournament resume. So I think with a conference as strong as the SEC, it buoys that. Outside of that, I think it's a different animal. I think the SEC kind of stands alone in that category.
We talked a lot about Oklahoma State at the top, and I'll ask you some more about them here in a second, but there's no guarantee Arkansas is going to play Oklahoma State. I mean, everybody thinks that the 1 and 2 will probably play at some point, but they start with St. Louis on Friday at 5:30 at Bogle Park. Tell us some about St. Louis and how their road went to the tournament.
They're the Atlantic 10 Conference champs, first time making the NCAA tournament. They've done well the last 5 years or so. Had a regular season championship in there a couple of years ago. Just haven't made the tournament run. Haven't made the conference tournament run to get to the NCAA tournament. They're a solid, scrappy team. One of my favorite St. Louis facts over the last few years. Anybody who remembers Kayla Kowalik, that was Kentucky's star for a few years. Her sister, twin sister, actually played at St. Louis. Just kind of an extra context for us and the tie into the SEC there. Abby Mallow's having a heck of a breakout season offensively for St. Louis. Set the program career home run record earlier this year. She's one, when I say I really like the offense in this regional, she's one that I would pin that on from the St. Louis side. But St. Louis is a scrappy bunch. Their coach has been there for a while. She's a solid coach. They're not a flash in the pan in the A-10 is the one thing. Like, they won a regular season a couple of years ago. They've been top three, top four in that conference for the last few years. This is just finally, they finally made that conference tournament championship run. But they're a sturdy little team.
Oklahoma State will play Indiana. I know Indiana was a team that was right on the bubble to get in, but now that they're in, you know how this goes in the postseason. If you can hit, you can win a lot of times. And you look at their numbers. I mean, they're first in on-base percentage. They're first in batting average. They're sixth in slugging, all these national rankings for them. They feel like they're that kind of team that now that they're in, they could be a headache for whoever they're playing.
Absolutely. And what's funny is Indiana actually is that 10th place Big Ten team that I mentioned. They finished 10th in the Big Ten standings. They make the NCAA tournament. That right there, though, that's why. That's a solid offensive team. Had a clean sheet. That was their resume for the tournament. But that's a really solid offensive team. I look at a Taylor Minnick, All-American a couple of years ago. Hasn't been an All-American since, but she's been so steady. Very sturdy leading that offense. Bree Copeland plays both ways. Shonda Stanton's teams always have a few hallmarks. A lot of speed, wiliness on the bases, a lot of get on base, a lot of make things happen. Well, now they add some power component in there with a Minnick or a Copeland. Copeland set their program home run record earlier this year. So I really like the multidimensional aspect of Indiana's offense. And to your point, like, they're going to come in and they're going to have that chip on the shoulder that, hey, they didn't think we should be here. Here we go. And that team, if they get rolling, that team can be dangerous.
Justin, I think I have this right. I think we had you on back in the fall when Arkansas was playing Oklahoma State in a exhibition game over in Tulsa. Yep. You went to that one, right?
Correct.
Yep. So take me back to Tulsa in October when these two teams played an exhibition game. What about them has changed your opinion on each team since that time?
So I can give you something on both. I'll start with Arkansas. Arkansas's consistency on both sides of the ball has really smoothed out to me. I look at their pitching. I didn't know what to make of their pitching after that fall exhibition. Granted, it's an exhibition. You can't ever have any solid answers from that. But I wasn't really sure what to make of their pitching. Their pitching is really the way Diefel's managed the pitching staff. The way that Peyton Burnham, Robin Heron have looked, even Reese Berline and Cam Harrison, like, they've looked solid. The pitching changes in one, out the other, in different times. Like, the pitching staff is really smoothed out, which I wasn't sure was going to be the case after that exhibition. Arkansas's offense has also added extra dimension. I watching them there, they pretty well got dominated, as memory serves. And I really like the addition of more than just the power. Like, if you look at the talent, yeah, there's some new faces in Ella McDowell, for instance, but I really like the way Arkansas's offense has added a dimension, and now it's not just the power. Now it's gaps. Now it's just get on base. Now it's, if you're Bree Ellis, now it's just take the walk or the hit by pitch and add a base runner. So smoothing out the pitching staff, adding the dimension to the offense, and executing, obviously executing, is key. For Oklahoma State, I think it's a little bit of the reverse. I think in the fall, I really thought their talent level was going to produce to the level it should. They are, bar none, one of the most raw, talented teams in the country. I understand they're not a top 16 seed. I understand they didn't win the Big 12, anything like that. They are, raw talent-wise, one of the most talented teams in the country. So I think for me, after the fall to now, I think I've seen Oklahoma struggle a little bit in the execution piece. I think I haven't seen them play to their talent level like I expected them to do. Ruby Malin has been very good, and she's their ace for a reason. But the pitching depth has been an issue. And the offense just has struggled. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. The offense has struggled quite a bit. So I think Oklahoma State's kind of gone the other way. In the fall, I was like, hey, this is a World Series team. The talent's playing to their level. Malin's as good as advertised. I don't think that's borne itself through the course of the regular season for OSU.
Bree Ellis won SEC player of the year last week, yet to hear on national player of the year. Where do you think she fits into this conversation? I know we asked you this a few weeks ago, but I wonder if anything has changed with her or what other players are doing elsewhere that's maybe changed your opinion at all in this race.
No, I don't think so. She should still be the national player of the year. Like, I understand there's going to be some argument for Jordy Ball at Nebraska, for instance, maybe Nyjah Kennedy at Texas Tech, and people like the two-way player and all that. But what Bree Ellis has done and how consistently she's done it, even through the course of SEC play, and we've already talked about the strength of the SEC, it shouldn't be close.
I want to ask you about pressure for Arkansas this weekend. I mean, this is well documented. They've lost a couple of super regionals here on their home field and a couple of regionals here on their home field in the last 4 years. I was reading a story this morning where Kenny Gajewski, the head coach at Oklahoma State, said, I look at it as Arkansas as a team and has got the pressure in this regional, not us, not trying to get to a sixth consecutive College World Series. What do you think about that and maybe the pressure that comes along with hosting this weekend with such a talented team coming over?
I think Gajewski's right. I think for Oklahoma State, this is the easiest road they've had because they're not, air quotes, supposed to win this week. They're the road team. They're not a top 16. It's a down year, air quotes. But for Arkansas, I do think that pressure's there. You've had a couple of regionals and super regionals where you just haven't gotten where you need to be. I mean, last year was a much earlier exit than expected. That said, though, I think Arkansas's done well with that pressure this year. Like, coming into the year, Arkansas wasn't really supposed to be a top team in the SEC. If you think about it, they didn't have that. I go back to that 2022 lineup with Gibson and McEwen and Sides and all that. This wasn't murderer's row this year. There were freshmen in the lineup. There were transfers, and it was, okay, what are the transfers going to do? You got two freshman pitchers probably, or your 2-3. What's that going to look like? Arkansas's lived up to the challenge, and then they've added pressure to themselves the more they've won, and they've kept winning. Like, I go back to that one that stands out to me is that A&M series. Like, you had already at that point, you started 1-5 in conference. You already had Tennessee under your belt. You already had Florida under your belt. You go into an A&M series after your bye week that's very difficult. A&M, top team in the conference at that point. You're on the road in College Station. There's a lot of pressure attached. And then Arkansas wins the series. And, you get to the last week of the regular season. LSU's in town. You're in front of your home crowd. You two programs that know each other well. First game goes absolutely drunk, to be honest. You win that series. I think Arkansas has withstood pressure really well outside of maybe the last three innings of the Oklahoma game. And if that's your worst sin under pressure, I think you're doing okay. So I think Gajewski's right. I think the pressure is on Arkansas. But I also think Arkansas has done well under the pressure they've had during their season so far.
Get you out of here on this. Pressure aside, that probably being maybe the biggest key to this series on the field, what do you think the biggest key is for Arkansas to advance into a Fayetteville Super Regional?
You've got to hit Ruby Malin, and you've got to make Ruby Malin work. Like, yes, we're assuming that Oklahoma State and Arkansas end up playing for the regional championship. Like, we're assuming that's going to happen that way, but that's the key. You've got to make Ruby Malin work, and you've got to hit her. The more pitches she throws, the better for Arkansas. And you've just got to be able to hit her, whether that's bunt singles or home runs past the berm. You've got to be able to hit Ruby Malin. If you can do that, I think it's a solid bet.
Justin McLeod of D1Softball.com. Justin, we appreciate your time. I know this is a busy time of the year for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Appreciate you. When we come back, Ethan Westerman's going to join me here in studio. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. RazorBackSports.com. Also want to tell you, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. There you can read some baseball content, Razorback baseball. The national polls, once again, are kind of all over the place this week. They're number 5 in the coaches' poll. They're as low, I think, as number 8 in a poll. And I don't feel like when you're looking at some of these polls, I've said this before, I trust the coaches' poll. I think the coaches' poll probably mirrors what the selection committee is thinking. So when you look at them at 8 in another poll, and you might think, oh boy, they're in trouble as a top 8 seed, I don't know that that's the case. Now, if they don't do well this weekend, maybe we can revisit that. But I think right now they're still sitting in really good position for a top 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. So you can read more about baseball at our site. Also, there was an announcement this morning. The Razorback Foundation has launched the Razorback Raffle. Of course, this has been a contentious point in our state off and on for probably about the last 10 months or so. But they're going to begin this raffle with this weekend's baseball series against Tennessee. I think it's already open. I don't have the website or anything here in front of me. But basically, you can buy your chances into this raffle, and then half of the jackpot will be given out after the Arkansas Tennessee baseball series this weekend. This is something they've been talking about and teasing at the baseball series over the last couple of weeks. Some legislation was passed earlier this year at the State House in Little Rock that made this a reality. So half of the pot will go to the winner. Half of the pot will go to the Razorback Foundation as they try to figure out how to pay or how to add a $20.5 million line item to their budget every year. So that's all we're going to talk about. That's not softball. We've got Ethan Westerman here in studio with me. We'll transition back to talking about this NCAA Fayetteville Regional this weekend. Talked to Justin about having Oklahoma State here. He said it wasn't a surprise. I know you weren't real surprised by it. But, you know, I understand what the NCAA is doing here. They got to foot the bill for these teams. And so the more teams they can put on a bus, the fewer teams they have to put on a plane. So I understand why Oklahoma State was sent here. I guess I get frustrated because it's this way in baseball too, where it's not like the NCAA basketball tournament, where you're trying to protect to an extent your top 4 seeds in each of the in each of the fields, or you certainly protect your number 1 seeds. I mean, heck, 2 of your 1 seeds are going to play 16 seeds who just played 2 days earlier in Dayton, Ohio. It's not that way. I mean, like if you wanted to look at the softball tournament kind of in the same lens of the basketball tournament, Arkansas would be a number 1 seed this year. Mm-hmm. Oh, now you get Oklahoma State coming over here, and you got to defend your home field against a team that's been to 5 consecutive Oklahoma City College World Series.
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part about it is it devalues, in my opinion, gaining that higher seed. Because let's be real, had Arkansas been the number 14 overall national seed, you know who would have probably got sent to Arkansas is Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be that way. Yeah. I think that if you earn, there's a big gap between being a top like 5 team and being, you know, and it's not always like this every year, but this year in particular, I'd say that the top like 6 really separated themselves to where there wasn't much question of who was going to be a top 6 heading into the selection show. Now from 7 to about 11, it was, you know, up for debate, but it shouldn't be to where Arkansas had this great season and you're getting sent a 2 seed that is among the best 2 seeds. And I get it. You're going to have to play hard teams no matter what if you want to make it as far as you want to go. But it does seem like, you know, you should protect the seeds a little bit more and give them a more favorable path. Arkansas should not, as the 4 seed, be sent this high of a 2 seed.
Reminds me in 2021 when the baseball team was the number 1 overall seed in the tournament, they sent Nebraska down here, a Big Ten champion. And my goodness, I mean, that was a dogfight. Mm-hmm. I think that that's part of the reason they lost to North Carolina State the next week was because Nebraska came here. I mean, they really had to give it everything they had just to get through that regional. That felt like a super regional. And then you got to turn around, you got to play a super regional again. The conspiracist in me says that the NCAA selection committee wants to keep the option open of having Oklahoma and Oklahoma State get to Oklahoma City. You know, that's why they didn't pair them against each other. I mean, Justin said it. He said he didn't think that they wanted to have Bedlam in the first round of the tournament. It's unfortunate, but like you said, I mean, here's your hand, and now you got to play the hand that you've been dealt.
Yeah, and I think what's benefiting Arkansas in this circumstance is they played so many of the top seeds already in conference play, to where it is unfortunate that they got handed, you know, a tougher path than a lot of regional hosts, but it's not like Oklahoma State's any bit more intimidating than what they just faced at the SEC tournament with Tennessee and Oklahoma in back-to-back days. I mean, they should be well prepared for this. It's going to be a battle. I'm fully anticipating like a winner-take-all game three type of situation. That's just how I'm going into the weekend feeling about it, you know. But Arkansas has proven me a lot of times this year, in a lot of ways right about my early intuition of seeing the team in non-conference play, even against some inferior opponents. I said this team, I feel like, just has some it factor to it, to where they can maybe change their recent history of postseason getting eliminated in home regionals. I still feel like they should make it out alive from their regional, but it's going to be tough.
Tough loss for Arkansas last week at the SEC tournament. Oklahoma just nickel and dimed its way back into that game and then ended up hitting a three-run walk-off home run to win in the semifinals. You think there's any residual effects of that mentally?
In a way, you know, I think that one thing it did do for Arkansas is it really demonstrated, I think, nationally, because Oklahoma, anytime they're on TV, the whole college softball world watches, and that's kind of, you know, the golden standard. And it really showed that there's not this year that much separation between Arkansas and who's been, you know, dominating the sport for a few years. So I think in a way, it could take an emotional impact that, you know, you had it right there and you lost it. But I do think it, more than anything, showed that Arkansas is kind of right there, like, with the best of them this year. I know Oklahoma fans, it's funny, you check social media or whatever after these, and it's like Arkansas gained Oklahoma fans' respect after that game. Like, they were, I was just seeing it everywhere, Oklahoma fans saying, like, that's a team that could win it all. And so that means, I think that means a lot coming from a fan base that has seen good teams year after year, that they're saying that's a good team.
Of course, Arkansas and Oklahoma, they're playing a lot now because Oklahoma's in the conference. But it felt like even before Oklahoma was in the SEC, we would see matchups between these teams quite a bit, whether it be Arkansas getting sent over to Norman for a regional or what have you, super regional one year. It hasn't been as many matchups with Oklahoma State. I guess that kind of surprises me. I thought that these teams would have seen each other more recently.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's more a byproduct of Oklahoma State is usually a regional host. I mean, they're it's kind of whenever one of the two isn't a host, which just hasn't been the case for like the past 5 years or whatever, it's you're not going to see them matched up against each other. But what's happened the last two times, I think one of them hasn't been a regional host. Arkansas got sent to the Stillwater regional once, and now Oklahoma State's getting sent to the Fayetteville regional. I think that they're kind of in a geographic bind where if one of them isn't the one seed, get ready. Just learn that college town because you're going to be there.
Yeah, you see that with baseball quite a bit too. Arkansas and Oklahoma State in the, I think they've been in the same regional like 7 or 8 times over the years, and certainly it's happened a little bit more frequently in the last decade or so. Let's start with the last 2 years for Arkansas because they haven't made it out of their home regional. What do you think, if anything, is different this year about this year's team that you think gives them maybe a better path out of this weekend than what you saw the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways you can go with this. First, I mean, the offense is just a lot better. It just, you look at the numbers, it is a lot better this year. Their batting average is way higher. Their runs scored is a lot higher. They have star power, which they haven't had since, you know, they've had some good players the past few years, but you haven't had a player like a Daniel Gibson or KB Sides until this year with Bree Ellis. And to be honest, there's some players on this year's Arkansas team that you stick them on some of those teams the past 2 years, and they're kind of the bigger names because they're starring a lot more. I think you have such a good player on your team right now that there's performances up and down the lineup that are kind of getting overshadowed by it, that really are worthy of awards at the end of the year. I think this team just kind of has that it factor to it. Like I said, they're confident. They have been through a tougher schedule. I mean, this year's SEC was ridiculous how tough it was. I just think this team is more battle tested. They've proven it to themselves more than past year's teams have because there wasn't as many opportunities to do so, to be honest. I mean, the SEC was good, but like this year, if you they drop their opening series at Ole Miss, then they get swept by Oklahoma, and the path to get out of that is like five series against top 10 teams and one series against unranked Kentucky, and they came out and won all six of those. I just think they've proven it more to themselves this year that they really can play with anybody.
Well, Tegan, you subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on Apple by searching Whole Hog Sports, or you can find it on our Whole Hog Sports YouTube page. We put a video version on that page every day. We put a podcast out every weekday, Monday through Friday. We've got Bubba Carpenter, our resident baseball expert, in here on Monday and Thursday. Ethan does a great job talking about softball. We'll have Anthony Christensen on, I think, tomorrow to talk about what he hears from John Calipari at the Arkansas, the One Razorback Roadshow that's going on right now. So hope that you'll subscribe to our podcast. Again, just search Whole Hog Sports on Apple or on YouTube. Oklahoma State, they get overlooked a little bit because OU is in the same state. And for a long time, I mean, obviously up until this year, they were in the same conference. And so, you know, you look at them and the number of championships and things like that, they may not catch your attention, but you know, I knew enough about them just peripherally to know that, hey, I see them in Oklahoma City a lot. I didn't realize until I read your story the other day that they've been in the Women's College World Series 5 years in a row. I mean, this is a program that has got a really good track record.
Yeah, and talking about geographic pairing and things, to make it come to life a little bit more, I think the last 2 years, certainly last year, I think it's 2 years in a row, the team that came out of the Fayetteville Regional got sent to Stillwater and got swept. Both years. Mm. So that just goes to prove that the teams that Arkansas has gotten out on their home regional to have gone and lost in supers to a pro. Like, this is a program that's used to winning. They are, I think there's a lot to be said about just a winning culture. This is kind of to Arkansas's benefit this year. I think there's been a lot of change at Oklahoma State on the roster, so it's not as much of like a core that's used to winning. But it's still, they're coming from a coach and a staff and some players on the team that just do not know what it's like to not make it to Oklahoma City. I think there's a lot to be said about that.
Ruby Malin is Oklahoma State's pitching ace. We heard Justin talk about that earlier, 1.61 ERA that ranks 12th nationally. It's kind of interesting to see that she and Robin Heron are kind of statistically comparable. If it comes down to that pitching matchup at any point this weekend, how do you think that looks?
Yeah, it really depends what version of both you get. I mean, that can be said, I feel like, about any game, but Robin Heron, whenever she's not, I think her stats honestly get weighed out a little bit, like her good performances, from equally just games where she just doesn't have it. Like, she just can't find the zone, struggles with command. It happened against LSU, but like, whenever she's on, her numbers are crazy good. I mean, you think about what she did against Tennessee, games that she's had this year against Florida, Texas A&M. Whenever she's on, Arkansas has a chance against anybody. It's a matter of what version do you get, and the same could be said about Oklahoma State's pitcher, Ruby Malin. The thing about her, too, though, is she's facing an Arkansas offense that I think you just look at the regional, and that's the best offense that she's going to be facing. So Indiana has a good offense, too, but it's nothing like facing SEC pitching and producing against those type of teams. I just think that it's a favorable for Arkansas in the sense that their aces, if these teams stack up against each other, she's going to be facing an offense that has seen All-Americans all year long.
We talked with Justin earlier about pressure. The pressure that's on Arkansas to not only get out of its home regional after losing a couple, but of course they've got a couple of home super regionals that they lost before then. Just the it feels like this program is right on the doorstep of breaking through, of getting to Oklahoma City for the first time. What kind of pressure do you think they're feeling over there right now about a lot of people saying, hey, you could be the team that's finally going to do this?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two ways this could go. I think the staff probably feel it, honestly, more than the players, I would assume, just because there's, you know, you think about Courtney Dyfel's been here 10 years. Matt Michael, her assistant, has been here for all but one of those. Danielle Gibson, she was a player on the team that they were said the same thing about, that this could be the team. I think that there's a sense probably in the staff of just like they know that this is a really good shot to make it, and it's always disheartening if you don't, with a team that you really thought could be the one, to pick yourself back up and start over again. because it truly is such a grind every single year. And I think that they just know that this is a team that, you know, like, let's just imagine a world where all they do is that you don't play this much postseason, that they just pick the best eight teams. Like, Arkansas is one of the best eight teams in the country, and there's no doubt about it. And that's the same way that that 2022 team was. I think that there's pressure in that sense, that there's no doubt in their minds that they're one of the best eight teams. Now you just have to prove it again. And I think that's the hardest part in postseason, is it's you're reproving yourself every single postseason. It doesn't matter what type of regular season you had, what you did the year before goes out the window. You're having to prove yourself all over again, because in that weekend, anything can happen. You get two losses on your record, and over the weekend, your season's over. And I think all teams feel that. I do think this Arkansas team has a lot of newness about it, of players that weren't on those teams that lost. I mean, Bree Ellis was last year. You think about a Reagan Johnson, Reagan Kramer. But other than that, there's a lot of players on this team that don't probably have that kind of weight on them because they're new. But you just never know. They do have to feel and hear what people are saying about how the team hasn't been able to get over the hump. So I think that this is the type of weekend that, you know, Arkansas, there could be added pressure on them, but I'm not sure that they've shown me all year that they feel, I mean, there's been pressure on them ever since they started SEC 1-5, if that makes sense. Because at that point, the pressure was, are y'all good enough to host a regional? Now that you know they're good enough to make it to the World Series, it's just, will they do it?
When the field was announced Sunday, Courtney Dienfeld, the Arkansas softball coach, spoke with reporters for a few minutes on a Zoom call. This is what she had to say about the field and about potentially playing Oklahoma State.
Well, we were pretty confident that we were going to get Oklahoma State and St. Louis. So the question more so was, who was our three seed going to be? And so that one was the surprise to us. But we knew the other two were probably going to be here as the day kind of unfolded and the weekend unfolded. So it's going to be a tough region. I think there's really good teams. So it's going to be tough, but everything's tough this time of year. And so that's what we expect.
Yeah, you know, whenever you're facing in your regional, potentially, a team like Oklahoma State that's been, I think they've made five in a row Women's College World Series, they kind of have that postseason pedigree. What's just kind of the, the mentality going in whenever you know that you have a team like them that's used to winning in the postseason?
Yeah, I think when you look at the entire field, they all have a lot of strengths. They're all postseason teams, and they're all going to be fighting for their lives. So I think when you look at Oklahoma State, they've been there and they've done that. It's a new team, just like our team's new. Right now, our focus is on St. Louis. So I think we look at the field, we prepare for the field, but we are going to put our focus and our prep for the team and everybody on St. Louis.
Okay, so you heard she didn't want to go there with you talking about Oklahoma State. And I think that's one of the keys to this series, is not overlooking that first team.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because, I mean, let's be real. Arkansas, they should beat St. Louis, but you see it every single year where a four seed will knock off the one, and it's like, whoa, 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 you should have pumped the brakes. And in the similar style, I mean, Arkansas would be thrilled if they beat St. Louis and Oklahoma State was overlooking Indiana, because Indiana just squeaked in the tournament. I mean, it's one of those deals, you throw seeds out the window this time of year, you better be ready to play.
Softball's different from baseball, because baseball, you have to think about how you're going to approach it with pitching. You throw one guy, he probably is not coming back for the regional. I wonder with Oklahoma State how they might approach this game with Indiana, because Indiana, you look at their numbers, I mean, they're maybe the best hitting team in the country. If you're Oklahoma State, do you think you can get through that game without throwing your ace? And then if you've got to throw her, how do you approach game two?
Yeah, I mean, I would be just gut feeling, I would be shocked if Oklahoma State didn't pitch their ace against Indiana, then roll her back out for a potential against Arkansas. And then at that point, though, you know, that's why I say this gives me the winner take all game three type of series feel, because let's say they do pitch their ace twice in a row and they were to beat Arkansas, I think Arkansas gets any other pitcher is going to really rough them up. They could definitely beat them with their ace still. I mean, they just beat Carlin Pickens in a game, but it's such a different game of, you know, chess with pitchers and softball than baseball.
It's crazy. As someone who covers baseball, whenever I look at, oh, this pitcher threw 200-something pitches over the course of the week. What?
Yeah. Robin Harrod against South Carolina threw like 259 in one weekend. And I'm just like, it's crazy just how the different throwing motion can affect how much you can throw. But You know, with Arkansas, they have two solid options with Burnham, the freshman, too. I mean, against Oklahoma, she did pretty well. Like, I mean, she gave up the solo bombs, but, like, no pitchers do great against Oklahoma ever. And I think that she's got a lot of confidence. So I could see Arkansas game one rolling out Burnham for sure, and then Heron being ready for Oklahoma State or Indiana, and then maybe throw her back-to-back days as well.
Do you think Arkansas gets out of this regional?
I do. I really do. I don't think that this team this year has the same, like, last year and the year before, it was the offense. You just, if they're off for a game, like, it's just hard to overcome that. And this offense, I just think, has too much power on it for them to lose this regional. I look at the field, and I think that Oklahoma State's a really good team, but, you know, I just think Arkansas has proven it a little bit more this year than they have in years past.
And Arkansas plays in a tougher conference. I feel like week by week, and you know this as well as anybody because you've written about it, but how many weeks did they play in succession a top 10 team?
Yeah, it was 4 or 5, but like five out of they won their final 6 SEC series of the year, and 5 of those 6 were top 10. 3 of those were on the road.
So, I mean, it's like you're playing a super regional every weekend.
Every single weekend. And they came out alive of every single one of them is what's different about this team.
I don't think OSU, especially with OU and Texas being out of the Big 12 now, that they've maybe seen that type of competition week to week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Oklahoma won the SEC this year with, I believe, 3 series losses. That never happened in the Big 12.
And I guess it was a little surprising Oklahoma State didn't win its conference this year because its big block has been those two teams that keep playing for the national championship or just went to the SEC.
Yeah, well, Nigeri Kennedy, the star pitcher at Stanford, transferred to Texas Tech this past year, and that made a big difference in that conference. But yeah, Oklahoma State, it's not the year that they would have won it at all. I mean, this is not their standard, but it's still a dangerous enough team that could make it all the way to the World Series.
It's an interesting matchup this weekend. The first game for Arkansas is going to be on ESPN Plus on Friday. This Oklahoma State-Indiana game has gotten picked up by ESPN 2. Mike Cousins and Leah Amico are going to be the broadcasters here. The expectation is, especially if you see an Arkansas-Oklahoma State matchup, that's probably going to get put onto one of the linear networks, but you'll be able to see everything on ESPN Plus in the softball tournament.
Yeah, they do. I mean, what ESPN does with the NCAA softball tournament, I think, is just like how they take over the networks is pretty cool. I mean, it's really grown in the past few years, and even like what they did with the SEC tournament, that production was awesome. I don't know if the call for Bree Ellis' Grand Slam, I think it was Kevin Brown, was announcing
it. We played it on our baseball podcast
the
other day.
That was an insanely good call. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those that I didn't realize how good it was until in hindsight, like, re-listening. Just like, man, this dude, it's like he scripted this before it ever happened. I mean, the thing about holding a toothpick and
that was
capital G gulp, I'm like, and it just
might have been a little too much, but the call of the home run was good.
Yeah, oh, I mean, he nailed it. He nailed the whole thing, I feel like.
We had Bubba in here the other day breaking down Bree's Grand Slam swing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did he have to say? Do you remember?
He loved it. I mean, he loved. I mean, he said he probably went back and watched that play. I don't remember, several times.
MLB shared it on their social media accounts. Which there's this partnership right now between the MLB and AUSL, the Pro Softball League, that's starting. That I think that's actually we're going to see some legs taken just with getting kind of that MLB support and backing. And Bree's was second overall picked by them, so. Pretty cool stuff for the future of the sport.
I wish that ESPN would push the spring sports on their main networks more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was flipping through our channel guide on a Sunday afternoon a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, you know, who wants to be watching this that you can find anywhere? When you could have live sports, and it would, I feel like it would bring in more eyeballs for, like, if ABC had, let's say, it was the weekend of Texas A&M LSU. These are two big brands in baseball. You put that thing on ABC on a Sunday afternoon, I guarantee you more people are going to watch that than a rerun of The Rookie or whatever it is.
Say sandwich it between NBA playoff games on ESPN. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I feel like there's such a, market out there with these sports are like so, I don't know, it's brands that you are familiar with from baseball and football, but then you watch the product and there's so many unique things that make Arkansas baseball different from Arkansas mm-hmm. anything else, that it's like, I don't know. It's just something that I think a lot of people gravitate to because it's very unique, the sport is and the traditions that, I mean, you see beer hats at Razorback baseball games. Tell me where else you, I guess you see it at Bogle now too. It came down the road a little bit. But it's just like you learn, there's different things about these teams that you won't see in any other sport. And I think that people like a unique product.
I was watching Texas, Florida in baseball the other day. It was a great atmosphere in Austin. It's like, you can't tell me that if someone is just curious on a Sunday afternoon that, you know, and they see that it's not going to bring them back in, and they say, hey, you know, let me go watch a little bit more of that. Same thing goes with softball. You watch an OU home softball game or an Arkansas home softball game or whatever. I don't know. That's a totally different conversation, I guess, for another day. But I just wish that the networks would lean in more to this, because I think they are the ones, the networks, who are trying to push everything over to these, you know, pay apps that they have. They're the ones that are actually keeping the games from growing more by not putting it on some of their premier networks.
Yeah. And I just think that if you did what you do in college football, to an extent in college basketball, where you pick a time slot, like, I mean, the SEC on CBS game on Saturdays every week was such a cool deal, but you have like one college baseball game every Saturday, SEC, that's on ABC, and you have like the A team, and you have, it'd be so cool if you could just like have that one, at least just one game that's on ABC every week and people know that series is happening. Instead, I'm having to like check every app and stuff to figure out who's in a rain, like oh, they were on ESPN Plus, but they're in a rain delay, so it, or they were on ESPNU, but it went to a rain delay, so now it will resume on ESPN Plus. And I mean, glad we have all these ways to watch games, but I just feel like there's, you kind of live in the dark a little bit half the time with all these things until you see, like, I watch Rally Cap on SEC Network every week because it catches you up on what all happened when you weren't able to watch. Because, yeah, I'm chasing something right now, but I agree with you.
The point being that if they would put more out there on their linear networks, it would actually grow the game. It would grow the interest in certain teams. And then if you're ESPN, hey, you get more people that are paying for your app because they're going to come over here and see the games that you're not putting on the TV.
Yep.
It just seems like it would benefit everybody if they would do that more. Maybe they can have that 2:30 game of the week, get Kirk Herbstreit to come out to bomb and call a baseball game or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I do think that they do a great job, Women's College World Series. I think they do put some – they have put some games on ABC for that, which
they have.
Is cool.
Yeah, they have.
And I'm just like, college baseball is just always ESPN, right?
I believe so.
I don't know.
It used to be CBS when I was a kid.
Wow, you're really aging yourself.
I am. Yeah, there were lots of teams. I've never heard of these teams.
Arkansas baseball, whenever I was a kid, was MP3 player for me personally. I would listen. I remember listening, like it was my guilty pleasure every year on the playground. It felt like Arkansas would be playing an SEC tournament game at like 1 p.m. or something, and I would just have my MP3 player out there listening to the call.
It's amazing how much all that's changed in technology too. You know, there was a point when I was covering the team that not every game was on the radio. I mean, like, there would be some games that, like, okay, we're not going to carry this on the radio. And then, you know, there were years where it's like, okay, you might get 8 games that are televised, and those are the only ones you can watch because there's nothing streaming. On that note, why does Arkansas not have a softball radio network? I feel like that's one of the things that and I guess they're not going to add any more expenses right now because they're trying to tighten the belt until it pops. Mm. But that would be a great addition, I feel like. I found myself when they were at the SEC tournament driving around picking up my kids and they're playing these mid-afternoon games. I'm like, man, I'd like to know what's going on there. I'd like to listen to a radio call of it, but that's something they don't
have. And
a lot
of SEC teams do have the Nest. Like, LSU brought theirs just a few weeks ago. Oklahoma, of course, has
one. OU has a robust radio.
Oh, my goodness. OU covers softball like the way that Arkansas covers baseball, and I learned that firsthand experience this year at Bogle. I mean, they had to pull out the tables that they normally have for postseason on the concourse for media outlets. So, pretty crazy stuff, but there's some sort of charm to listening to a radio broadcast. I mean, I listened to whenever Arkansas beat Florida State, you'll know better. What World Series was this? It was like a walk-off.
Well, it wasn't the, it was the 09 Super Regional. Andrew Darr hit a RBI double, a two-run double to beat Florida State on their home field.
I listened to that on the radio, and I was imagining it in my head. And the Eibner one as well.
Yeah.
I listened to that on the radio. Like, we were not a big ESPN fan. Like, we did not have the cool channels. We were stuck with, like, we got to see the news. So I was left imagining all these games, and let me tell you, radio carried me through a lot of Razorback sports.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you talk to Chuck Barrett, and he'll tell you that's one of the reasons that Razorback baseball grew was because they took the network and they put them on 100,000 watt radio stations in Fort Smith and in Little Rock, and then all of a sudden people start. Not only are they able to listen to the games, but because those are sports talk radio stations, then it starts to become part of the conversation on the sports radio shows as they're leading into or coming out of a game. And again, it all just kind of there's a snowball effect here. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice little rabbit that we chased right there at the end. We were going to keep it tight, and then we got going.
Well, what's new?
Yeah, that's how we do. We appreciate you being with us. You can read all of Ethan's coverage on Razorback softball at our website, wholehogsports.com. He and Anthony Christensen are going to be out there this weekend covering the regional. We'll promise you're not going to find the level of coverage they're going to give you anywhere else at wholehogsports.com. Be back with another podcast tomorrow. Hope to see you then. Have a great day, everybody.